Hello, Patriot Pals. Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I am so excited because this is the one guy, if he puts out a podcast or a blog, I read it the first thing, because I'll tell you what, nobody cuts through the BS of the insanity we're living through geopolitically, both financially and politically, then Tom Luongo. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Good morning, Mel. How are you?
Well, I'm good, except I really need you to explain what the heck is going on. The whole world seems to be imploding at the same time.
I don't need to further it. That's where we are. Like, that's what's going on. The question is whether or not it's a planned demolition on the parts of the bad guys, or are we starting to see pushback from, I wouldn't say good guys, but at least people who are not, you know, who are not crazy European communist eugenicists, right? So the big question here is which faction is dominant, or which faction is striking back, and where what's the state of play? What's the state of the game board? Right. And I always look at it in these terms, because I have to, because it really is just a big game board, right? The big one now is, you know, in the last, let's go back over the last 10 days. We're, you know, what, 10 days, 2 weeks. So we go from Boris Johnson being deposed in the UK.
Right.
And then Shinzo Abe gets assassinated in Japan. And on the next day, they start a process against, they start the Nuts and Sluts campaign against Olaf Scholz in Germany, just to make sure that if he ever thought about actually exercising any powers, you know, chancellor, that no, actually the Greens are actually in charge in Germany.
Right.
And then, you know, I'm hearing like that the Austrian government may fall, the Belgian government's in trouble. Was Estonia's prime minister officially stepped down? Bulgaria's government's in trouble. And then yesterday we have the big news that Mario Draghi, the imposed technocratic prime minister of Italy,
right,
turned in his resignation to President Sergio Mattarella. Now, Mattarella immediately turned around and did what Mattarella would always, what anyone who follows Italian politics would know him to do, which is he would reject that resignation, send it back to the Italian parliament, and give them 4 or 5 days to craft an outcome that's favorable to what I call Davos, right? And to the, right, the European, exactly. European faction.
Right.
But the problem here is that all of this is like, is really shuffling the game board, because they took out Boris Johnson because Johnson was installed by populists here in the United States and the UK to repair the US-British relationship, create AUKUS as an extension of NATO, make NATO subordinate to that, and basically put the Anglosphere at the primacy of Western policy, foreign policy, as opposed to the Eurosphere, right? So that's what this has always been about. The United States has never been happy about the idea that the Europeans would take control of foreign policy.
Right.
But the Europeans have controlled much of our foreign policy for years. So that's what Brexit and Trump were all about, was that that's what they were so angry about. So they've been working assiduously to get all that reversed. And they got Biden installed, which then allowed them to eventually take out Johnson, because now Johnson is isolated.
Right.
And so they got their pound of flesh.
Yeah.
And then Shinzo Abe, who they already got their pound of flesh on during COVID, was threatening to come back to power.
Right.
Start talking about being rational and following Henry Kissinger's plan and saying, look, we need to open up dialogue with the Russians and stop this nonsense. And then he's murdered. And, you know, the circumstances of his murder are, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time believing that, you know, he wasn't anything other than assassinated.
Right.
And then obviously the situation with Scholz and now Draghi.
Right.
So I see Draghi as payback for Boris Johnson.
Okay.
Because the people who took Draghi down in Italy, the Five Star Movement,
right,
led by Giuseppe Conte and supported by Luigi Di Maio, both of whom, Di Maio used to be the leader of M5S, was prime minister when they first came to power, along with in the power sharing agreement with Lega and Matteo Salvini. And then eventually they put Conte in. He wasn't prime minister, but he was like effectively like vice prime minister, you know, whatever. They made Conte prime minister because Conte was acceptable to Davos, basically, to Mattarella.
Yeah.
But Conte was always the bag man for Angela Merkel. So Conte was always, in my mind, was always a Davos guy.
Right.
So it was a guy. He was the guy put in place to keep the wild dogs of M5S and Lega under control. No Italy leaving the Euro. No more talk of Italy exit. None of that stuff. Conti would smooth all that over. And there's even videotape of him caught sotto voce talking to Merkel about this. Don't worry, I've got everything under control. And she's like, very, very good. Thank you. Like, it's like that scene with Anakin and Emperor Palpatine in episode 3 at the opera. Kind of the same thing, right? It's almost it's almost like shot the same, where the video is almost shot the exact same way. It's really funny.
Weird.
No, it's hilarious, actually, when I stopped to think about it. It just popped into my head. So Conti, always being Davos's bag man, and now he's the one who turns around and says, Draghi is unacceptable. And it's not just because there's 500,000 people sitting outside the Italian parliament screaming, it's time for Draghi to be, you know, have his head chopped off.
Right.
Like, they're literally at that point. And there's the whole Italian taxi union is descending on Rome. And like the whole transportation system within the country is stopping. And the general strike called and all this other stuff. It's not just that, because these people don't care about that. They would just as happily nuke, you know, drop a neutron bomb on all these people and get rid of them all. Right. It's not about that. It's what happened behind the power scene. What happened behind the scene? What has changed that forced Conti and Di Maio, both of whom were, relatively speaking, political lightweights within the Italian power structure?
Right.
What changed? Because obviously, you know, during all the trials and tribulations since the last Italian election, which brought M5S and Lega to power, it's been nothing but neuter them, take them out, you know, marginalize Salvini and the Lega, yada, 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 in order to keep Davos in control.
Right.
But then why would the same guys who betrayed the election in 2017 turn around now and, you know, flip? And that's got to be because the situation with the Americans is such that the Americans are now actually in charge of the entire situation. The Fed is in the process of destroying the ECB and the Eurodollar system, and everything's changed. And they just got the memo.
Yeah.
Take out Draghi. That's it. That's my read.
Yeah. Who is, when we talk about the US, who are we talking about? Are we talking about senior executive service? We're not talking about Biden. You know,
no.
We're talking about the oligarchs that I believe run America. I don't think our government runs our country.
No, our government doesn't run itself.
Right.
We have a split within the oligarchy. It's the hard part for people to wrap their heads around. You have the Obama administration / Biden and those people who are embedded deeply across the entire bureaucracy. And, you know, and they're all agreed on foreign policy, which is destroy the Russians, destroy the Chinese. This is why it gets confusing, because they always agree on that. Right. Yeah. The question is who gets empowered to do what, when, and in what order? That's a more complicated question, but they all did work together, at least when it was obvious that within the structure itself, there was no fighting the structure. Right. When the Bushes were in charge of everything, when, you know, the Bushes and the Rockefellers and all them, they were in charge of everything. When Kissinger was at his most influential, when Brzezinski was at his most influential, up until around 2008, or even 2010, or the election of Obama. I think that was one thing. Right. But when 2008 happened, and the world financial system broke, and the dollar reserve system failed, and we had to coordinate central bank policy in order to keep the dollar reserve standard from even staying on life support, which is where we've been for the last 14 years.
Right.
You had to have the Fed be the central bank of the world. But at the same time, that was hollowing out and destroying the United States. And enter Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum to say, we have a solution for all of your failing pension funds, plans, and everything else. We have to bankrupt the world. We can write off all the debt. We'll blame the Russians for it in a World War III, and then I'll be that.
Okay.
But the price will be the destruction of the commercial banking interest in the United States.
Right, right.
We have to roll everything up to a central bank digital currency, and we have to give all the power to the IMF and the UN.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I did a pretty deep show into BlackRock and Larry Fink, and the extraordinary amount of people in BlackRock that are between the Biden Obama, I call them the O'Biden regime, and BlackRock and the World Economic Forum.
Yes.
They all bumped together. We all saw Deese last week, who is a Obama guy who is involved in the 2008 collapse. He organized after that. Nobody went to prison. He moved on to move all of our car manufacturing. He was the cash for clunkers guy. Now he's out there in front of the whole world saying, well, we can't let Ukraine fail because that's the end of the liberal world order. People are saying, oh, that's not what he meant. Yeah, it is what he meant.
Yeah, that's exactly what he meant. And so did Pompeo when he was at the Hudson Institute 2 weeks ago. Right.
Right.
So, no, I agree. And here's the one that'll bake your noodle. BlackRock is going to be the first one to fail.
I hope so.
I'm dead serious. Mel, I tell everybody this. I said, I didn't
you're
do it.
You're right a lot.
I didn't do a deep dive.
That sounded insane 3 months ago, and now it's totally right.
Yeah, I sounded completely nuts, right? 3 months ago. Well, here we go. Here's the big one. And I'm not the first one, but Martin Armstrong put this idea in my head. He was doing some cycles work on BlackRock. He was doing some cycles work on BlackRock and mentioned in a private blog post about a month ago or 6 weeks ago. You know, BlackRock may be running into trouble just from a time basis. Like every, you know, things just have a course, he was just talking in like broadest cycle terms. But what he was saying, and it was very true, which is that BlackRock has become so drunk with its own power and they've bet the farm on Obama, Biden getting control of the United States and implementing Klaus Schwab's, you know, idiotic global technocratic communism with basically him and Vanguard and a couple others in charge of all investment. They bet that farm. And Jay Powell is doing everything imaginable to destroy it.
Yeah.
Because if you think that Larry Fink and Jamie Dimon, for example, like each other, you're an idiot. They all hate each other
at that level.
It's all Patrick Bateman from American Psycho, where they're comparing each other's the quality of their business cards and stuff. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. That's the kind of psychopaths we're dealing with here. So, and under no circumstances, if Fink is going after Diamond's business along with Goldman Sachs and, you know, Citi and Wells, well, do you really think that they're just going to stand by and take it?
No.
Do you? Huh, that's a safe little world you live in, that where everybody's just always all in on it together and there's nothing we plebs can do about it.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a shark tank and the minute they smell blood, they attack each other. Yeah. I don't know. I got two words for you. Lehman Brothers, which is exactly what happened then. I got another two words for you. Bear Stearns.
Exactly.
Bear Stearns was a raid.
Yeah.
It was a corporate raid by other bankers against the vulnerable one. So when there's a possibility of destroying these people, they will. They will destroy each other. They will. So Fink is working with Obama and Klaus Schwab to destroy Diamond. Do you expect Diamond not to mobilize his assets?
Right.
When his asset is the New York Fed? Did you wake up on the wrong side of the turnip patch this morning? What are you, a fucking moron? I mean, seriously, like, it's not deep analysis here.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying anything here that any second grade geopolitical analyst should or financial analyst should be able to make. Anybody who's worked on Wall Street, has done any 2 and 20 carried interest trade work, and has had lunch at lunch on Wall Street knows exactly what I'm talking about. Would look at me and go, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Right.
It's not even.
I think they all feel that way. Here's a crazy thing. I was looking into Ukraine. So, you know that Biden is passing the biggest defense budget in history, $700 billion, I think. We're sending.
No, 813 now.
Oh, he moved it. 800.
Oh, yes, 813. No, it was 713 under Trump. Like, come on.
It's 813. Then we got $50 billion going to Ukraine.
Over $54 billion so far.
$54 billion. Mm-hmm. And then I found this document that appears to be from 2014 from the World Economic Forum on the future of Ukraine. And it's a whole plan to turn Ukraine into the technocracy and the green world of the future. This was 2014.
Yes.
And Zelensky's there in 2019 telling everyone there of all the great investments. This is while Biden's running Ukraine that they can make. And they're painting such a utopia for the future. Yep. In Ukraine, and nobody's putting together 2 and 2.
No, I mean, I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's a great document to like, okay, why did they choose Ukraine? Sure. It all does is add to what I've been saying for years, which is that I don't have the specifics because I can't be arsed to look them up, but it's very obvious everybody is dirty in Ukraine.
Right.
Mitt Romney is dirty in Ukraine. Pelosi is dirty in Ukraine. Adam Schiff is dirty. Adam Kinzinger, they're all dirty in Ukraine.
Hillary.
Joe Biden. What's
Hillary.
That? Hillary. Hillary's a dirty all over the world. But most of these people are just, as my friend and partner Dexter White likes to say, they're just like the Clintons are just Arkansas grifters. And most of these people are just Arkansas grifters, right, effectively. So they're not really, they're just lieutenants. They're just following their nose. They're going, ooh, there's money to be made. Like, right. Biden's just a Delaware grifter. So he always has been. So nothing new about any of these people. So they're very easy to corrupt. It's very easy to say, look, this is what we're going to do. And we're in power and we control everything. We control the European Union. We control most of the federal bureaucracy. We control the flow of the money and, you know, who gets what grants and blah, 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 blah. We control all that. So this is what's going to happen. You're welcome to get on board.
Right.
If you just keep your mouth shut, like, okay. They bribe the media. They bribe this one. They move capital markets wherever they want. And eventually, and the only thing standing in their way is Vladimir Putin going, oh, no.
Right. Right. Exactly. And then, All this was clearly planned. So they want the war, right?
Of course. Absolutely. Like they chose the war. Putin chose the time. Like, and that's the problem. And he chose the extent to which the war would be. They wanted the war to be concentrated in a very small area in the Donbass, which is where they thought from international war perspective, international law perspective, where Putin had the strongest argument, because they all thought they knew Putin. And, you know, Putin is likes to do things by the book. I mean, he's like Putin or hate Putin. Putin is very much a lawyer when it comes to this. So he understands international law. I've argued this publicly with my own partner about this. I'm like, it doesn't matter. You're right that Putin may or may not have violated international law with the way he invaded Ukraine. If he had invaded Ukraine and just protected the Donbass, then he would have been well within his rights. And I think that's what we were expecting him to do.
Right.
When he did a full-blown, four-pronged attack from Crimea all the way to Kiev and every point in between, well, then all bets are off at that point.
And why do you think he did that? Why was that the move?
He did that because we had for 8 years prepped the Ukrainian army to fight the war that we wanted them to fight. That would be the war that would be legal for Russia to fight. Therefore, Russia would fight that war and we could turn it into a meat grinder. We gave them javelins. We gave them all of these things to fight an air war. When the Russians blew open the Ukrainian army, forced them to spread out all over the country, and then retrenched and began an artillery war,
right?
Which they are not prepared. They were not prepared for. And the Russians are very happy to go, yeah, no, we can make 150 millimeter shells all day. They're cheap. We can make thousands of them a day and we can shoot thousands of them an hour. We're good at this. We know how to do this. We're the Russian army and we've been doing this for 150 years now. And we know this is the kind of war we know how to fight. Right. And that's why we're so angry. That's why we're desperately trying to shove weapons into Ukraine to try and shore this thing up. But it's like a dam that's falling apart. And the little Dutch boys ran out of fingers in freaking April and it's July. So the wall is now crumbling very quickly. The Russians are beginning to take strategic territory very, very quickly. They're going to shore up Kherson. They're going to take Mykolaiv. They're going to take Odessa. They're going to take Kharkov in the north. They may even take Sumy and Chernihiv. Like and if yet, they really want
our country has no idea still. I feel like some people, first of all, they've erased it from the news. So most people don't even care anymore because they only cared when they were being bombarded. But most of our country is not awake and does not get this, thinks that Ukraine is winning. And this is the saddest, most pathetic storyline. On top of that, they don't care about the Ukrainian people at all.
At all.
They don't know what they're doing. And they're sending all this money into Ukraine. And what I saw was that the U.S. actually said they have no idea where the money's going and they have no idea where the weapons are going because they agreed not to look. I mean,
yeah, well, no, literally the Ukrainian army is selling American and NATO weapons out of the back of Volkswagens to the Russian army, who then turns around and goes, oh, cool. We can now reverse engineer this. We didn't have these before.
Right.
Like we didn't have. You know, we weren't able to steal the plans for these. Cool. Thank you very much. And, you know, like there's all sorts of this stuff going on now. Salt all this stuff to taste. We only know about 75% of this. Let's not kill it. But the facts on the ground are pretty clear. The Russians are uninterested in talking to anybody. They know exactly what they're doing. They're prosecuting this war on their terms at every turn of events. And NATO was going to either have to escalate and push this to a technology level that they think they have an advantage of the Russians on, which is possible because sanctions have limited of the type and kind of high level technology necessary for Russia to mass produce its best weapons. It may have prototypes, it may have a few, but it doesn't necessarily have, it may have hundreds of shells of T-90 Armada tanks, but it may not have the barrels for the guns.
Right.
Because those require special lathing CNC machinings that we don't allow them to have. Now, if the Russians leave the WTO, I'm sure the Chinese will be more than happy to
give it. I was just going to say, enter the Iranians and the Chinese. Because what we're seeing also, you do a lot of work on this. A lot of people don't know about this. It appears that not only is the whole BRICS thing going ahead, but it seems that a lot of other countries are saying, you know what, we'll go with them. Yeah. And then I think the Bank of International Settlements has opined already into it too, which people don't even know what the Bank of International Settlements is. But when I saw that they were kind of like, well, we should probably work with the BRICS people too, I thought, what in God's name are we going to do? What is happening?
Well, since the Bank of International Settlements is as Davos gets, I'll bet you that that's a sign of that's an admission of. Well, there's a lot of things going on. Remember, let's go back to what we just talked about at the beginning. You've got the Anglosphere, you've got the European sphere within "quote unquote" Davos. That's splitting. Now, the Davos term is going to be dead by the end of this year.
Yeah,
I'll have to come up with something new. But with that means that we're going to have the Americans. I'm going to lose my train of thought here, but we're going to have the Americans are going to try and push, and the what's left of the Brits are going to try and push the situation to take their to press their dominance, push the Europeans down, and then full bore point NATO towards Russia. I fully believe that the Pompeo wing of the foreign policy establishment is in charge.
Yeah. I really was very upset when Pompeo compared Zelensky to George Washington last
week. Yeah, I know. And it's crazy. The three lighthouse speeches is 30 minutes of psychological projection writ large. It's awful. Quite stunning. Okay. But I've always known that Pompeo was a sick, psychopathic, disgusting human being. Always known this. And that speech just kind of always...
It was crazy. You know,
just confirmed everything for me. Now, the interesting part about the Bank of International Settlements is that the Bank of International Settlements works for Davos in Europe. Basel III rules were designed, banking regulations were designed to advantage European banks at the expense of American and British banks to destroy the paper gold trade, which has been suppressing the price of gold. Right. So, and the BIS has been making noises here and there about, well, cryptocurrencies aren't that bad, but we're behind the curve, and there's all this stuff about the BIS coming out the other day and saying, yeah, we want to work with the BRICS on this, is in many ways an admission of surrender that we need your help to stop the Americans from running the table on us, which tracks with everything that I've been saying. Mm-hmm. Now, again, this is, but I'm not completely convinced that I said it tracks. So 55-60% tracks, it's not, none of this stuff is set in stone. Everything is, but this is where we are today.
Right.
And we do the best with the information that we have. So all these things would be implied, but the situation in Italy, they lose Italy, forget it. The European Union's toast. Like, that's the Declaration of Independence.
Wouldn't it be better if the European Union was gone?
Of course.
So,
You have to destroy Davos.
Oh yeah,
You have to destroy the old European colonialist money.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That's what we're talking about.
I think they're broke too. They don't seem to have any of their own money over there in the EU either.
Well, they don't. They have dollars that we've exported over there, which they previously have levered up and 20-to-1, 100-to-1 or whatever through what's known as the euro dollar system or the offshore dollar system. And they've used the offshore credit system and the ability to tie their credit rating to our monetary policy
that
has dominated world finance and their power structure for 60 years.
Yep.
Okay. That is what's in the process of breaking. I urge everybody to learn about what Eurodollar futures are and then go look at the curve. Then go look at some of go look at the volatility in the Eurodollar futures curve over the last 3 months since the Fed started raising interest rates. And you tell me, you don't have to be an expert chart reader. Just look at that and go, that's bad. That kind of volatility on one of the most important markets in the world is insane. But I'll tell you, the volatility in the U.S. Treasury market is just as bad. Yeah. I used to think, oh my God, the 10-year moved 4 basis points today. Oh, no, now I'm getting like bored with, oh, it's less than 10.
Right.
It's not even interesting. Like that's not where bad. We are.
Right. Right. You know, and then I also, on top of that, since we brought up the whole crew, IMF now has a new fund also for Ukraine that everyone can put money into. You know, it's just the laundering of money for Davos. But the IMF, what they do, in my understanding, at least, from my, I like that book, sure. Confessions of an Economic Hitman, first starting me down that path. Yep. So they're giving all these loans to Ukraine. They're buying Ukraine. Ukraine will never pay these back.
No, I'll give you one better. No. So the other day, all this stuff was blowing up, right? Everything was going crazy. There's, you know, markets opened on Monday and like, you know, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria, right? You know, Dow's down 500 points. Right. Oh my God. You know, everybody's waiting on the CPI number from the US. Uh-huh. It was on their Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was. And, you know, oh no, sorry. Was it only Wednesday? Oh my God. I think it was Wednesday when the CPI number came out. So I'm like, oh my God, it was only 48 hours ago.
It's happening so fast. How can you tell? Right.
So on Zero Hedge, there's this great article that the Democrats Democrats are arguing on Capitol Hill to hand $650 billion of IMF SDRs to Ukraine. Now, what is that? Well, IMF SDRs are the IMF's currency. We and all the members of the IMF put money into the IMF, have pledged capital to the IMF. The IMF has the biggest pile of gold in the world. And Jim Rickards has been telling us for years that the globalist plan, of course, is that when all the central banks go bust, who's the central bank that's of the central banks that's going to bail out all the central banks that went bust? The IMF, right? So, and the BIS just winds up being the bank that actually handles all the transactions. That's right. The BIS handles the movement of the money. The IMF is the one that's, you know, actually the central bank. Right. So think of like the BIS is the JP Morgan to the Federal Reserve.
Okay.
I think I've got that right. So the IMF SDR, why is that $650 billion interesting? Because that's the amount of money the United States has already pledged.
Right.
They don't need any legislation. They don't need congressional approval for this because the money's already been spent. They've already taken that money from us, put it into the IMF. Now they want to give it to Ukraine. Now, why would they? There's no Ukrainian bank in the world that can handle $650 billion.
No.
So where does the $650 billion actually going to go? Well, it's going to go to a whole bunch of bankrupt European banks who are out of capital and are out of reserves and whose debt is not, and whose balance sheets are busto, and they need collateral and they need cash to offset all the loans that they've got that are going bad.
Right.
As interest rates rise, the Fed is going to raise interest rates by another 75 or 100 basis points in a week and a half.
It's unbelievable.
It's an emergency move to stuff the European banks full of capital because while the Ukrainians come out the same day and say, well, we don't really need $5 billion a month, we need nine. Well, last I checked, 650 divided by nine is like, what? What is that? 35 months of money? Like, are you kidding? The world's not going to exist in 35 months. Ukraine's not going to exist as a state in 35 months. No, this is $15, $20, $30 billion are going to get laundered out of Ukraine to everybody's bank account. And the rest of it's all going to get sucked into the black hole of the European Union in order to try and bail this out. And guess who's going to get bought then? Italy, Spain, Portugal. They're not just trying to buy Ukraine now. Now they want to buy Italy, Spain, and everybody else.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. And it's crazy. I was watching, BlackRock again, because I watch him because I think he's running this country in terms of the economics, Larry Fink, who wanted to be the Treasury Secretary under Hillary thought he was going to be, then Trump won, then somehow he met with Biden, then Biden became the nominee, and now half of BlackRock is in the White House. But
well, you know, under Trump, Goldman Sachs ran the White House. So
Right. And no, there's no difference. I don't look at either as any good. I look at them all as traitors to we the people and that thieves of our money.
But I've got an interesting story about Steve Mnuchin that you might find interesting.
No, I will.
Okay.
No, I had a problem with him too. Yeah.
Oh, I so do I. Like every time I watch one of my favorite DCEU movies and I see him as one listed as one of the executive producers I have to.
I know.
I didn't know that
about him. That he was.
He's actually listed as an executive producer.
The best money laundering in the world.
PBS and a couple of the others. So it's just money he laundered out. Whatever. It just stores money at things. No. What's interesting about Mnuchin is the following, and you're gonna maybe have to update your mental map about Mnuchin and Trump and Powell and everybody else. So Judy Shelton, the woman that Trump tried to get onto the Federal Reserve Board, known gold bug, known hard money guru, advocate, was on Grant Williams' podcast a couple months ago, which is behind a paywall, but one of my patrons, you know, smuggled out to me. And I've talked about this in other places. So I'm now giving Grant a plug. People go buy Grant's podcast and go listen to the one with Judy Shelton. In there, she talks about what the plan was during the Trump administration to fix the American finances. Ready? You remember when Mnuchin and Trump were both talking about early in his presidency about 50 and 100 year bonds?
Yes, I do remember the bond talk.
Okay. And everybody laughed like, oh, now we have to go to 50, 100 year bonds in order to roll this out. Right. Okay. Now all we're going to do is stay indebted forever. The part they left out, because no one wanted to talk about it. No one wanted to let the cat out of the bag at the time, was that part of the principle of those bonds would be redeemable at the end in Treasury gold. That's actually the best fucking thing they could have done to fix the U.S. finances. So they were planning, Mnuchin, Trump, and the rest of them. And remember, Powell's in the White House, is at the Marin Eccles building by this point.
Right.
And they were talking about this is the mechanism by which to get out, because now you can issue 50 or 100 year debt, change the maturity profile completely of the U.S. debt, all right, get the debt servicing down, because you could issue these things at 2 or 3%. You wouldn't have to issue this at 7, 8, 9%. You would be able to issue this at 2 or 3% because it's tied to gold. Okay. So, all right.
And that would be the return.
And that would now effectively remonetize gold.
Right.
So what Shelton's point was this, the Americans were going to go there first because they needed to under Trump. He was stopped from doing it. Then he was deposed from power illegally. And guess what? Someone else is going to do it first. Is it going to be the Chinese? Is it going to be the Russians? Is it going to be the Indians? Who's it going to be? But it's going to be one of them. Or is it going to be us after the Biden junta has been removed? Because this is still on the table. After the crash, after this period that we're living through right now, where they have to destroy Davos and the offshore dollar futures markets, they have to destroy the Eurodollar system. That way, you now bankrupt the Rothschilds. You bankrupt all the old European colonialist money. The Chinese have already told them, no, you can't come here.
Right.
That's why Soros is screaming that Xi's the devil.
Right? I know. That's
Putin told them the same thing. You're not allowed to move your money here. We don't want it. You're not welcome here. You show up with your money in my country and I'll arrest you.
Right. Right.
So there's no place for them to go.
Right.
And during World War II, they all hid in the United States.
Not anymore.
These vampires. And then they moved back into Europe and then used the money they made during World War II to buy the freaking loans under the Marshall Plan to rebuild Europe. And then they made all their money just to try and screw everybody over again.
Right.
These people need to be destroyed. They've outed themselves. Everybody knows who they are. They're no longer allowed to work behind the shadows. I'm sorry. It is not one big grand conspiracy and it's all big club and we're not in it. That club has fractured. This cartel is breaking and there's nothing they can do about it. And they know it. And I'll tell you why they know it. They know it because the Russians and the Chinese have said no.
Right.
They're not. Will they may want to impose their own system. Fine. There may be another you know, another layer to this game that I'm not describing right now. Fine. If you want to be all Brandon Smith over at Alt Market about this, you go right ahead and do so. I personally happen to think that, you know, Brandon kind of lost his mind 15 years ago, but that's me personally. I've been reading the guy for 20 years. I remember being Brandon Smith. I am not anymore. His latest article this morning opened on Zero Hedge, literally opens with, if you don't believe it's all one big conspiracy, it's just a bunch of copium. I'm like, really? Someone may need therapy.
Right.
You know, because he's the one who literally said 15 years ago, oh, the Fed had all a bunch of closet Austrians too. Oh, by the way, and not Keynesians. It's just nonsense. That was the day that I woke up and realized, no, I'm on the wrong path here.
Right.
I have to get better at this than just chalking it up to one big conspiracy. It has to be more nuanced than this. You have to know the people.
Right.
You have to know their motivations. You have to believe that people respond to incentives, and you have to trust that market forces are bigger than any one person. And they are. Because we actually still all have the power.
Right. See, that's the point. We do still. It's not over. And I see there's psychological operations going because it's so funny. I like Judy Shelton a lot. We could have really turned a lot of things around if she had gotten in there, I think.
Of course.
But the one thing, though, that you said that I think is really important is that they're acting as if they won. You saw that Soros writes another op-ed, but doesn't put it in an American, like, mainstream journal or magazine or
right.
that he controls. He puts it out so that we don't see it. And right. it's basically, if you ask me, I'm reading it and I'm saying, this guy's panicking.
Yes.
He's panicking. And they're talking like they already won, which yes. lets you know that they didn't, because that's not how that you talk if you were winning.
Right.
That's the thing.
No, you never talk. No, exactly. No, his speech at Davos was a classic example of someone desperately trying to move the needle.
To convince us
the truth of the matter, the truth of the matter is that Soros went to Davos 24 hours after Henry Kissinger spoke and told everybody, no, you're going to follow me. And we're going once more into the breach. It's going to be the charge of the Light Brigade with these people. They have lost their minds.
Do you think there was a breach between him and Kissinger?
Absolutely.
They're the two that have always been working together in my mind.
The two of them were giving you completely different. When Kissinger comes in and he's the only one in the room that actually makes any sense.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Like, and then Soros comes out the next day and says, we must go and kill Russia to fight for the liberal world order. And then that's all you hear in predictive programming through all of Soros controlled media for the next month.
Yep.
And Kissinger, we haven't seen her hide nor hair of Kissinger since.
Nope. No, we haven't. Now, what do you think? So as for us lowly folk in America, watching the world come apart, any thoughts about where we are? You know, now, like a month ago, the housing market's not going to collapse.
It's going to be terrible, Mel. Like to break these people, you're going to have to endure some pain. There ain't no way of getting around it.
I used to look at your blog as like the title was funny. Now I look at it like, It's imperative. It's imperative. Old goats and guns are the.
Yeah, I know. At some point, what's a comedy? Tragedy plus time. Right.
That's the funniest name for a blog. And now I look at it and I think that's the only answer.
Yeah, that's the only thing that makes any sense, right?
So it was,
and I always knew it would kind of become eventually. That for people over time. Like, because I always thought it was funny too. I'm like. Yeah, but it's so right. It's so true. So and it's not my phrase either, by the way.
Yeah.
That comes from one of my former bosses over at Newsmax. He's like, dude, I so want to do a promotion around Tom called Gold Goats and Guns. I'm like, I'm stealing that. And then I did. And I told him that.
Great.
And I told him that a couple of years later. I'm like, thanks, dude. That was brilliant. I appreciate that. So I got to give it to him on that one. If you're out there, Mr. Hill, you know exactly who, you know. Well done. So, it's funny. He probably doesn't remember. So for us, what we're going to do is we're going to retrench. We're going to get serious and simple. We're going to simplify our lives as much as possible. As always, same thing as always, gold, ghosts and guns, get out of debt, get diversify your income streams, shore up your financial position, go to cash, and then you'll be able to go long U.S. assets. Certainly U.S. stocks, once we get an emotional spasm. They're setting us up for some kind of spasm. They're trying to crash the oil markets right now to punish the Russians. I don't think that's going to work. The Saudis are telling Biden to go scratch.
Yeah.
The what I would just suggest is keep it simple. Transportation is going to be is in trouble. There's a war on transportation. There's a war on oil. There's a war on gold. There's a war on cash. Well, right. whatever they're trying to destroy, you should be going along.
Right.
You know, and then of course, when the things that will destroy them, that's rope makers and guillotines. But you know, we'll leave that for another discussion.
I'm ready for that. It seems
that's what we'll see. We'll see if the Dutch farmers are going to be the only ones with enough upper body strength to actually pull the guillotine blade up, because most of these millennial soy boys just don't have the upper body strength to do this. So,
well, what do you make? Do you think though that here's my thing? Because I'm watching the whole world. It seems like the only people that aren't going out in mass and protesting as one unit is the Americans. And yeah. I guess it's because we're not going to feel the pain because of our past.
We're
going
to be the last ones
lifestyle.
To feel the pain. We're going to be the last ones to really feel the pain because the strong dollar buys us. Now the strong dollar is going to buy us some time.
Right.
A lot of capital is going to flow in here over the course of the next couple of years. But when we really start to feel the pain.
Yeah. Now, how do you?
And we have a lot of overlapping social safety nets in this country. We still have a lot of capital. You know, we still produce an inordinate amount of food. The food bank lines may be long. People may be going to their local farm shares on Thursday afternoons. Like we have one in my local town. You know, I know that there are people doing it regularly over there where there's just free food being given away. Like there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of quiet desperation that goes on in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Where people just grin and bear it. And, you know, the psychological profile of immigrant, you know, lower to middle and middle class in America is never let them see that you're poor.
Right.
Never.
Right.
It's, you know, plastic on the, in my grandmother's house was plastic on the furniture. Right.
Oh, me it too.
Was. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I had an Italian grandma.
Yes.
Until the day she died, we had plastic on her
couch. Yeah, plastic on the couch because that was the only couch she was ever going to get.
Right. Right.
And there was no way there was any damn cat hair on her freaking couch. Right.
I know.
So.
But you know, maybe it's time for an awakening. I mean, we were, you know, psyoped into thinking that I can't believe every time I open the New York Post and it's all the Kardashians and their wealth and all this nonsense, I think how much more insulting can it be at this point that we have all been so misled to think that A matters and B doesn't matter when it's the opposite. Right. How much longer are we going to play along with this fact is fiction, truth is lies, upside down world. I don't know, but I feel like it's got to come to a head.
It is. See, I mean, remember the credit cycle is reversing,
right?
And all of this illusion is based on the ever expansion of credit. You destroy the offshore dollar markets. You destroy so many aspects of the way we do fractional reserve banking and all of this stuff. And we have to, when asset prices start to fall and commodity prices rise, and when they meet in the middle, that's when there's going to be a reckoning. And we're seeing that now. Asset prices are trying to deflate. They're desperate to try and keep them from deflating because while commodity prices are rising because there's not enough of them to go around to satisfy everybody's demand. So this is a classic stagflationary environment. It's no different than it was in 2009 post Lehman Brothers. Same thing. I said it then privately because no one was listening to me in my laboratory back then. Even my employees thought I was crazy when I was screaming about this shit. Well, 15 years ago, but I was right, which is it was a stagflationary depression. You were going to have asset price deflation and commodity price inflation. And the inflation deflation argument was the wrong argument to be making, which back then that was the big deal, right? It was Peter Schiff versus Harry Dent, writ large.
Right now we see, I know this isn't your wheelhouse, but I can't not ask you because I've been talking to all different kinds of people and trying to see what they think. We have a big situation coming up in 2022, and there's a lot of people out there that think that by any means necessary, there will not be an election or whatever between now and then. It's going to be some kind of false flags or climate emergency.
That's possible.
Or whatever. What are you thinking between now and then?
I'm thinking that the Democrats don't have any other option but to try something like that, and Davos to try something like that. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think Martin Armstrong's articles from the other day, he was talking about, you know, them wanting to steal the election by giving everybody, all the illegal immigrants, the ability to vote and allowing them. And that's not going to work either. I honestly think that if they try that, I've been saying for a long time, and I don't actually think this is outside my wheelhouse. I've been talking this for a while now. Every American election, Davos tries to turn into a Hobson's choice. No matter what happens, they win. So here are your two scenarios. Either there is an election and they co-opt the GOP to the point where we get a big GOP majority, but the John Boehner, Mitt, right. you know, cocaine Mitch, you know, Mitt Romney's are still in charge of the party. And we have pretty much continuity as we then shift to an anti-China position. We impeach Joe Biden and imprison him for selling the country out as a traitor to the Chinese, because he's in. Biden is impeachable over selling the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, to the Chinese.
Right.
He's Absolutely. Impeachable for this. And yeah. he's not just impeachable, but convictable, put in jail, shot as a traitor. Done.
Yeah.
Okay. And I got news for you. The GOP will do this in order to slake the thirst of Americans who have not seen anybody go to fucking jail right. over all their malfeasance for the last 20 years. Like nobody's right. ever gone to jail. So who cares about Joe? He's 82. He's got dementia.
Like they set him up to be the, right. to okay. be the
He's
fall
always
guy.
Been the bag man.
Right.
For this. Always right. been the bag man. That's a scenario number one. Now, if they don't think they can get that done, then they're going to try scenario number two. Scenario number two is, well, they'll just invalidate the election or they'll try and steal it for the Democrats. Right. right? Now, I don't believe that they'll be able to steal it for the Democrats. I think that any state that still has drop boxes by November will be also every drop box will come with a big 6'2" oath breaker, a Proud Boy type in a T-shirt with a, you know, with a stick and a camera going, so what you doing with all them ballots over there, boy?
Right, huh. right, exactly.
Okay, and that boy and that guy gets right back into his 15-year-old Saturn and right. drives back to Soros Central and goes, I need more than $3 a vote.
Right, right.
And then the whole thing collapses. 200,000 mules, which would have cost, I don't know, say $200 million to steal the election. Now, all of a sudden, cost $200 billion. And Soros doesn't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
So that's option number one. If that happens, I think that that's more likely. But even if they steal the election, that will cause a civil war in the United States. That will cause states to break away. Who right. wins then if the United States is brought low and destroyed as a 50-state compact in the early part of this decade?
Right.
Davos. So they're setting up every one of these scenarios and fallback plans in order for them to win. The way we beat this is with populist candidates
right.
that oust the GOP establishment, and we have powerful people within the and the powerful people who just took down Mario Draghi, to bring this all the way back to the beginning. If they stand up and they say, by the way, you are not pulling this shit again. You are not doing this again. This is what we're doing this time. You will back our play here, and you're going to back Ron DeSantis as the president for 2024 to get the fiscal house in order. Yeah. And we're going to let these people hang. You don't work for them anymore. You work for us. We have the Epstein tapes and the little black book, not them.
Right.
Or something along those lines. You know, at the end of the day, you know, that's what most of the, and you might see, and you'll know, after the election's over, you'll know whether or not what happens. If McConnell all of a sudden steps down as Senate Majority Leader for health reasons
right.
after the election, that's your tell.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like you're saying, and I keep saying to everyone, there is no right and left. There is no Republican and Democrat. There's a uniparty. And then there's us. I think
there's two wings of the same bird of prey. Yes.
Right. We're so past the point that if anyone's still picking a team in politics, they are completely misguided. And
no, there's us versus them. It's the populace versus the oligarchs. If you don't get that, I mean, I'll give him his due. Lee Stranahan said this 5 years ago when I was on, I was a regular on his show.
Right.
And I agreed with him then and I agree with him now.
Yeah.
And populism is a 4-letter word in Europe.
Yeah, but you got to be responsible for your own vote. And you can't vote for anyone that you haven't looked into. And if you haven't looked into them, then it's shame on you, because you know,
voting got us into this mess. It's not going to get us out. But, you know, it is nice to at least run the fiction, because the voting, the whole election process is what Davos will manipulate, because they right. still think that the laws matter. When the truth of the matter is, if they manipulate one more freaking election, the guillotines and the ropes come out, the pitchforks and the torches come out, and it doesn't matter. Draghi gets dragged out of the Italian parliament and whacked on the ground by his perfectly manicured freaking hair until he's bloody and beaten. And it doesn't matter how much power you had.
Yeah.
You thought you had. It right. doesn't matter how much money you have.
Nope.
Like Klaus, I still maintain that Klaus Schwab is not going to die of old age. He's not going to die having saved the world in his mind. He's going to die when his driver turns around one morning and shoots him in the head. because his daughter couldn't get fucking health care. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I wish I had that guy's phone number. But
yeah, me too.
But anyway, you're the best. So can you tell everyone where they can find you? And I highly recommend that you follow Tom, because let me tell you something. Every day that he drops something, the whole world becomes a little clearer. And you think you know what you're talking about. And then you read it. And then you think about it. Then you read it again. Then you realize, okay, now I get it. So where can people find you?
Thank you very much, Mel. I do appreciate it.
I love your work.
The kind words. My work you can follow over tomluongo.me or goldgoatsandguns.com. You can find it either way. Google Tom Luongo, you'll find me. Though I don't recommend to use Google. Use a better search engine than that. You can follow me on Twitter at TFL1728. And even though Twitter's a dumpster fire, it's a fun dumpster fire. Just don't take it seriously. And then on the blog you can find links to my podcast, the Patreon, and all the rest of that stuff. So you're great. You know, more than welcome to become a part of the community.
Yeah, I'm a Patreon there, and I think everyone should be, because you know what? It's worth it. Get rid of your cable TV and go subscribe to individuals like Tom. And I'll put all your links below. Thank you so much. I hope to see you again soon. And it's never a dull moment, and you are on top of every one of them.
No, I mean, if
how do you sleep?
Not well.
But at least you're giving us so much information that we actually.
I sleep about 5 hours a night. But I always have, so it's not that big a deal. All right, Mel, you take care. It was great talking to you, as always. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Guys, I've been warning for months and months about the World Economic Forum and the private Western Central Bank rate reset. On top of that, the ESG proposed by Larry Fink and BlackRock, which is the CCP social credit score tied to the central bank digital currency, which would end privacy and autonomy for all free people on planet Earth. Just recently at the World Economic Forum, these people got together and decided that not only will they have a central bank digital currency, but that it will be tied to a universal ID that every person on the planet would have to receive. This ID would track and trace everything from your financial life to your health records, to your social justice, to your environmental footprint, to everything that you can imagine. Your business, your expenditures, your groceries, everything that you do in life would be monitored, tracked, and traced by these people in Davos, if they can get away with it. I don't believe they can, because we the people and God Almighty have the power. You have to make the moves today. Invest in silver and gold and other hard assets. Get your money into small banks, credit unions, and savings and loans that are local and benefit your local community. And start preparing in your home with supplies and whatever you need going forward. We the people and God Almighty will save this planet. But that means we have to take action steps to walk away from the central bank digital currency and their planned great reset. Do that today, please. God bless you and your family, and God bless and save America and all free people on planet Earth. No matter what, God wins, but we need to make the moves now. I don't always talk about why I decided to partner with Mel K Superfoods, but I have a good friend of mine. You guys know her too, Ann Vandersteel. We were at an event and I'm looking at her thinking, what did you do different? She's glowing. She's so full of energy. And she told me about this amazing program. I didn't know. I just knew that I had seen her a month before, and a month later, she's on this program. And I said, I want whatever she's doing, whatever she has. And I got involved with Superfoods. I learned about it. You've seen my friend Raven on here before. She is an organic farmer who's very involved in the company. Really broke down for me how special these products are, where they come from, and what they could do. And within a short period of time, I felt like I too was feeling like I had an extra amount of energy. I felt that I was internally feeling like I had more digestion. I used to have different kinds of digestive issues. They all kind of went away. I didn't notice my hair, my nails, my skin. It all was improving. And the only thing that I had done was I added superfoods to my daily regimen. And that has been a total game changer for me in so many ways, including it is an excellent weight loss program if you are looking to lose weight, which I was when I first started, and you continue to maintain. And it's a completely regimented, easy to follow, results oriented program, but then it becomes a part of your lifestyle. At this point, it is to me like a part of waking up and going to work is also using my superfoods and doing my regimen. And I look forward to joining you guys on your journey to health and fitness, as I'm on my journey to health and fitness. And we could not recommend it more. This is something that I really love and has really, really enhanced my life and my lifestyle. Go to MelKSuperfoods.com and join me in supercharging our wellness journey and living our best, healthiest lives ahead.
Mel!